DiscerningHearts.com, in cooperation with the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, presents Spiritual Desolation. Be aware, understand, take action with Father Timothy Gallagher. Father Gallagher is a member of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, a religious community dedicated to retreats and spiritual formation according to the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. He is featured on several series found on the Eternal Word television network. He is also author of numerous books on the spiritual teachings of St. Ignatius of Loyola and the Venerable Bruno Lanteri, founder of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, all published by the Crossroads Publishing Company. This particular series is based in part on Chapter 4 of Setting Captives Free, Personal Reflections on Ignatian Discernment of Spirits. Spiritual Desolation. Be aware, understand, take action with Father Timothy Gallagher. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
Eighth Rule. Let one who is in desolation work to be in patience, which is contrary to the vexations which come to him, and let him think that he soon will be consoled, diligently using the means against such desolation, as is said in the Sixth Rule.
And what will help the person to work to be in patience is to a thought. Again, over and over, Ignatius invites us to consider thoughts. There's a book on the spiritual life entitled Thoughts Matter. The way we think has a lot to say with what's going to happen in our spiritual experience.
You know, as you're speaking, Father Gallagher, I'm recalling a teachings of the Desert Fathers. Maybe I'm not sure if St. Ignatius had encountered this or not, but it's that understanding of the noonday devil, that as you've spoken, we're in desolation, the enemy is assaulting us in some ways, potentially, and that acidia, that's a name for that particular experience. Do you suppose St. Ignatius understood that, or he's describing that in a way?
Oh, absolutely. And when we turn, as we will in just a short time, to the actual text of Rule 4, where he describes spiritual desolation in his own vocabulary, you see that the person feels entirely, he says, tepid, sad, without fervor, without energy. And that's very much the experience of acedia. What comes to mind as you're saying this is something that Deacon Jim Keating often repeats, that the key issue in the spiritual life is to stay in love, not just to fall in love, but to stay in love. And that's where acedia comes in, when the journey seems long and the initial enthusiasm is no longer there. The noonday sun, you know, the heat of the noonday is the image of that. And then the call is to stay the course, is to stay in love through that. I would think it's true to say that in our spiritual tradition, Ignatius has the clearest counsel on what to do about that, because that can easily be a space where spiritual desolation can come in. So what do we do about that? How do we resist that? How do we reject that? Well, that's exactly what he's equipping us to do through the rules that we're looking at now. That noonday devil or acedia, it's not something to be afraid of if we experience it. It's something that we need to be aware of and we need to respond to. But we can serenely expect that at some points the journey will not be filled with enthusiasm and it will be hard and there may be suffering. Well, Jesus told us that the daily cross would be a part of discipleship. What is key is how we respond to it. And of course, in the Desert Fathers, you have a lot of wisdom on that. And Ignatius is born out of that tradition, but as we've said before, expresses it in such a way that he tends to come to the fore, and I think rightly so. The thought Ignatius says in Rule 8 that's going to help us remain patient at such times is that we're going to be soon consoled, because the desolation is going to try to tell us, we're going to say, it claims power to predict our spiritual future. What you're experiencing tonight at 10 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the kitchen, next week and the next months, it's just going to go on and on. The undiscerning response to spiritual desolation is the sense that this is just going to keep weighing on me. And so Ignatius says, no, call to mind, think about the truth that desolation is going to pass, consolation is going to return, and soon, which is a bold word, a lot sooner than the desolation is telling you. And then finally, he repeats the counsel to use the four active means that he gave us in Rule 6, prayer, meditation, much examination, and suitable acts of penance. In Rule 9, Ignatius addresses another very key question which people will ask. If we put it in the words of Jesus in its most extreme instance, my God, why have you abandoned me? I'm doing my best to love and serve you, Lord. I've embraced my vocation. I'm doing the best I can. Why do I have to go through this darkness, this acedia, this heaviness, feeling far from you, feeling no energy for spiritual things? Couldn't a God who loves us spare us these experiences? So the rules would be incomplete if Ignatius did not address this question, which he does in Rule 9.
Ninth Rule. There are three principal causes for which we find ourselves desolate. The first is because we are tepid, slothful, or negligent in our spiritual exercises, and so, through our faults, spiritual consolation withdraws from us. The second, to try us and see how much we are and how much we extend ourselves in service and praise without so much payment of consolations and increased graces. The third, to give us true recognition and understanding, so that we may interiorly feel that it is not ours to attain or maintain increased devotion, intense love, tears, or any other spiritual consolation, but that all is the gift and grace of God our Lord. And so that we may not build a nest in something belonging to another, raising our mind in some pride or vain glory, attributing to ourselves the devotion or the other parts of the spiritual consolation.
And what he does is to highlight for us three reasons why God may allow us to go through the experience of spiritual desolation, because in each case there's a kind of fruit, spiritual fruit, that God wants to give us. If we have begun to slip or become negligent somewhere in our spiritual life, maybe prayer is no longer as consistent, then God may permit the experience of spiritual desolation as a wake-up call. Oh, I don't feel your closeness. And you know what? It's time for me to get back to that morning time of prayer that I've loved, you know, over the past few years. And then there are two more reasons which have nothing to do at all with our own fault. And this is one of the reasons why I can say so confidently that there's no shame in experiencing spiritual desolation. So a person who is not at all negligent may still experience spiritual desolation as a trial, Ignatius says, same language he used in Rule 7. And the purpose of permitting the person to go through that trial is some kind of growth or progress or learning or new wisdom in the spiritual life, a very real thing. We can all look back over our spiritual lives and recognize how at times, yes, certainly much growth has come through the joy of spiritual consolation and God's closeness, but also sometimes it's the darkness that almost compels us to take steps that prove to be the most useful and beneficial in the spiritual life. And then finally, Ignatius says God may permit spiritual desolation so that when we experience that, we know in the flesh, as it were, that any experience of spiritual consolation that God may give us is his work, it's his grace, it's his gift, it's not our doing. And that roots us in a very real way in this rich biblical space of humility, which for Ignatius is the space that opens us up to all spiritual growth. Now, in Rules 10 and 11, Ignatius addresses a person who is in consolation, but his goal is the same, and that is to help us deal with the trial of spiritual desolation. So in Rules 5 through 9, Ignatius speaks to the person right now in the heaviness and darkness of desolation and says, here are a set of things you can do. Don't make changes to your proposals, adopt the means of Rule 6, consider these various thoughts, etc. In Rule 10, what Ignatius says is, even before the desolation begins, when you are experiencing a time of joy and God's closeness, a time of spiritual consolation, there is a way of living such times of spiritual consolation which will make it easier to get through desolation when eventually it returns, as we can serenely recognize that it will. This up and down is just of course, with all kinds of individual nuances for each of us. But this is normal spiritual experience, this alternation.
10th rule. Let the one who is in consolation think how he will conduct himself in desolation, which will come after taking new strength for that time.
So there is a way of living the spiritual consolation in which we take in strength that will help us get through desolation when it returns with greater ease. The biblical image that I use is Joseph in the book of Genesis and the 7 years of plenty followed by the 7 years of famine. In the 7 years of plenty, Joseph stores up grain that he does not need, but which will be critical for survival in the years of famine to follow. It's that kind of dynamic. So the desolation never comes simply with the shock of surprise. We're ready for it, and we know how to deal with it.
It reminds me of something I've heard that Mother Teresa said, St. Teresa of Calcutta, that she, in her prayer, would sometimes ask the Lord, I am in consolation, but hold back just a little for those times I'm in desolation.
That's another way of saying the same thing. So that as I experience the joy of the spiritual consolation, a part of the overall experience is taking in strength for the desolation to follow. That's a lovely link between saints. I think it's important when we look at Rule 10, this is the rule where Ignatius explicitly addresses the other kind of action that we're to take. Be aware, understand, take action, accept. To accept God's work through spiritual consolation, that we feel a great freedom. And know that that's our principal call. And principal call in time of spiritual consolation is not to prepare for spiritual desolation when it returns. The principal call is simply to rejoice in, be open to, or to use Ignatius' own lovely verb, to receive, recibir, to receive the joy, the light, the grace that God has given. But there is an additional good also that we can experience through the joy of spiritual consolation if we also are looking ahead to spiritual desolation and preparing for it.
Could I ask this, Father Gallagher, in all care to be sensitive to the experience of those in desolation, because there's nothing fun about desolation. I mean, there's not something that we should desire or want, but in what you've just described, in some ways, it can be a gift. And so maybe for those who have gone through this experience and you realize that it may be an opportunity to grow deeper, or that God is asking us to go in a different direction, not to rail so much in fury that I'm in desolation, but in that deepening of your prayer to see that possibly this is something that the Father is offering us in some way. I mean, it's a different type of paradigm in which to view it, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And that's, I'd say, really the whole goal of this set of rules, setting captives free. Now, when we speak of spiritual desolation, as we're doing, and we're going to focus shortly on Ignatius Rule 4, I think it's really important to say that Rule 4 is not about spiritual desolation, but about setting captives free from spiritual desolation. That's the only reason for writing that rule. That's the only reason for this set of rules in which 5, 6, 7, so on, Ignatius repeatedly refers to spiritual desolation. This is about hope. This is about freedom. This is about knowing that you don't have to live in captivity to that discouragement of desolation. God never gives the spiritual desolation. That's always the work of the enemy, which is why the only appropriate response is always to reject it. But God in his loving providence will permit the enemy to visit us with experiences of spiritual desolation for the reasons that we just saw in looking at Rule 9, and there are other reasons as well. But yes, it's very much a dispensation of love in God's providence that permits the man at 10 o'clock or the woman at 3 o'clock or any of us to go through spiritual desolation, because if we know what the call is in time of spiritual desolation, never simply passively to endure it, key point behind Rule 6, but always to change ourselves intensely, as Ignatius says, with hope and with energy and using the tools that he supplies to resist and reject with God's grace, the spiritual desolation, that's when hope comes. That's when that helpless sense of why is this happening? And I speak now also with great reverence, because many of us will have experienced this at times. See, Chris, this is what keeps me writing and traveling to speak about this, or even doing what we're doing right now, is because when people learn that there is a way to freedom, that we're not called to live in captivity, Jesus did not come that we might live as captives to the discouraging lies of the enemy. He came, as he said in Luke 4 in the synagogue, to proclaim liberty to captives, to let the oppressed go free. And that's what I love about this, is that it not only, I would say, exhorts, I guess that's the word I want, it not only exhorts people to take steps to come forth from the spiritual desolation, but it equips them. It gives them the tools that they need. And people feel that, you know, like the well-equipped parent, these kinds of books, this is the well-equipped discerner, you know, that you get in this set of rules. So in time of consolation, Ignatius says, take in strength for desolation. And in our earlier set of talks on this, and in the book on this, I go through in some detail various steps that a person can take.
We'll return to Spiritual Desolation, Be Aware, Understand, Take Action with Father Timothy Gallagher in just a moment.
Hello, my name is Deacon Omar Gutierrez, and I want to ask you to support Discerning Hearts in a special way. We, Chris McGregor, the board, and I all know that not everyone listening can help financially. We know we have listeners from all parts of the world, and we have made a commitment since the beginning to make the truths shared through Discerning Hearts totally free. So while you may not be able to contribute financially, what you can do is certainly pray, but also give us positive reviews on whatever platform you use to listen to us. If it's iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Spotify, however it is that you get these podcasts, or if you're on YouTube and you like our videos, please give us a good rating and write a review. The more good ratings and reviews we get, the higher our profile, and the more listeners will discover us, listeners who may have the means to contribute in the future. Please consider rating us and writing a positive review today.
The Councils of Mercy, an excerpt from the writings of Venerable Bruno Lanteri, founder of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary.
If I should fall 1,000 times a day, 1,000 times a day I will begin again with new awareness of my weakness, promising God with a peaceful heart to amend my life. I will never think of God as if he were of our condition and grows weary of our wavering weakness and negligence. Rather, I will think of what is truly characteristic of him and what he prizes most highly, that is, his goodness and mercy, knowing that he is a loving Father who understands our weakness, is patient with us, and forgives us.
For more excerpts from the writings of Venerable Bruno Lanteri, visit discerninghearts.com. We now return to Spiritual Desolation, Be Aware, Understand, Take Action with Father Timothy Gallagher.
Rule 11 is the final rule in this set in which Ignatius speaks of spiritual consolation and spiritual desolation, and as it were, ties it all together and paints what I would say in a metaphor the portrait of the mature person of discernment.
11th rule. Let one who is consoled seek to humble himself and lower himself as much as he can, thinking of how little he is capable in the time of desolation without grace or consolation. On the contrary, let one who is in desolation think he can do much with God's sufficient grace to resist all his enemies, taking strength in his Creator and Lord.
So the person in the joy of consolation is not naively and carelessly high. And this addresses something that you raised earlier, Chris. This is the person in the joy of consolation. This prayer is so rich, I can get up an hour earlier and have more time to do it. I can join this group in the parish. I can take these new steps in reading scripture, and so on, to the point where with goodwill, but with a lack of a kind of wisdom. And I say that with a little hesitation there is because I want to speak reverently here too. I've been there, we've all been there at times. What Ignatius wants to save us from here is that overextending of ourselves that leads to some kind of an undoing of the whole thing, which can be painful and which can cause a lot of discouragement and maybe a pulling back.
11th rule. Let one who is consoled seek to humble himself and lower himself as much as he can, thinking of how little he is capable in the time of desolation without grace or consolation. On the contrary, let one who is in desolation think he can do much with God's sufficient grace to resist all his enemies, taking strength in his Creator and Lord.
So, in time of spiritual consolation, remain humble. And in time of desolation, remain trusting. Humble in consolation, trusting in desolation, that's how we go forward in the spiritual life. And that's where Ignatius is leading us in all of these rules.
Isn't it remarkable that in our last several centuries that there have been mystical experiences, and I'm speaking of St. Margaret Mary Alcott, as well as St. Faustina, who experienced an incredible message from Christ, who would say, remember, trust me, Sacred Heart, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. And at times in their period where it seemed like the world was in chaos, and yet here we are today. And it seems like in almost in every age, there is this temptation to not trust and to, and I know we want to be very sensitive, folks, but it, and I know this is strong language, but to wallow in desolation sometimes because we don't have that trust.
Because we don't have the trust, and I would say also maybe because we need the kind of wisdom that Ignatius is supplying, this practical, down-to-earth, daily, in the kitchen, in the workplace, in the parish, dealing with children, dealing with finances, wisdom that helps us find a path through the discouragement of spiritual desolation. Two things have come to mind as you've said that, that classic phrase from Charles Dickens, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. And I think we all feel that. There's language that echoes that in the document of Vatican II on the Pastoral Council, a pastoral constitution on the church in the modern world, Gaudium et Spes, the joys and the hopes and all the ups and downs. And then also a lovely sermon from St. Augustine in which he asks the question, is it true as we hear, and so we're in the 5th century now, is it true as we so often hear people saying that our days are worse than the centuries that have come before us? I love that because that's such a real question for us today, and we can feel that very much. And his answer to that is that the reason why our age seems worse to us and preceding ages seem better to us is because we weren't there then.
Mm-hmm.
His basic message is a message of hope, that not to give in to that sense. And that I suppose I remember that sermon so much because I can feel, as I think many of us do, as we look at what's happening around us, we can feel like this is the worst of times. And I don't want to in any way not recognize the real problems and growing problems that are there in various ways. But the call in all of it is the message that St. John Paul II gave so beautifully. I think we've talked about this in other conversations, that as the biography says, to be witnesses to hope, to recognize that the key fundamental truth of our life in this world is the redemption. His John Paul II's classic phrase that the power in the cross and resurrection of Christ, the redemption, is greater than any evil we can or should fear. Yes, there are evils we can fear. Yes, there are evils we should fear. But there is a power in this world greater than any of them. And that is the power of the cross and resurrection of Christ. And he quotes from the Gospel of John, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And that redemption, the Redeemer is alive always, daily, now in the world. I think it's very helpful to come back to that as a fundamental reason for what theologian Henri de Lubac calls essential hope. We have signs of hope when maybe there's an activity in the parish that goes better than we'd hoped, or we see our children taking steps to return to their faith, or in many beautiful ways God may give us signs of hope. But something deeper than that is what he calls essential hope. And that's exactly what St. John Paul II is speaking about here. The knowledge that the deepest truth of the world and of our lives is redemption, is the power of the cross and resurrection of Christ that's greater than any evil. To keep linking things that we've talked about before, this is exactly what Tolkien is getting at in his word, eucatastrophe. The fundamental message of the Lord of the Rings, which is that even as evil grows in power and the forces of evil, of good are dispersed and weakened, and we fight what Lady Galadriel in the book calls the long defeat, that the final word is the eucatastrophe, the good catastrophe, the sudden joyous turn, which is the resurrection after the defeat of Good Friday, and which is the fundamental truth of our life. So to live out of that is the right place. And anything that helps it, I would say in my own life, over the 27 years of St. John Paul II's pontificate, he became pope when I was a deacon over in Rome. And I had the chance to serve as deacon three times, actually, in St. Peter's for him. And just drinking in this man, and then over the years, reading his encyclicals and listening to his talks, gradually I began to see what he meant. If you live with your consciousness essentially focused, not on the newspapers, but on the deepest truth. Yes, we need to know what's going on in the world, but that's not the deepest truth. The deepest truth is Christ came into this world, lived, suffered his passion, went through death, and rose again, victorious over all his enemies. And in that grace, we can live. So I think what Ignatius is doing, to come back to the rules here, is not only encouraging us to do that, but saying, here are some very concrete things you can do in the kitchen, when you're praying in church, when you're driving to work, when you're struggling with failures or things that didn't go well, when you're rejoicing in things that reveal to you God's faithful love. In the stuff of life, here are some things you can do that are going to help you move toward hope.
The following rules, he even gets into some of the nuances that can challenge us in that being aware and understanding, and then to be able to take action.
Mm-hmm. As I said before, it's very important that we see Rule 4 on desolation in context. It isn't the whole picture. It's actually a very small part of the picture compared to the work of God through spiritual consolation, but it's the main difficulty for most of us, and that's why it's so important.
Well, could you say it's almost like, and I don't mean to be so simplistic, but it's almost like riding a bike. When you first get on, you're going to have your stumbles. You're going to have your problems. And before you study it, writing it, and I cannot help but think of the wise counsel of Venerable Bruno Lanteri, that you just begin again. And an answer to all of it, and he is one that drew from these rules.
Oh, absolutely. Well, let's take that metaphor. Let's say here's a young boy with his father, and his father is trying to teach his son to ride a bike. And here is another father with his son of the same age trying to teach him how to ride the bike. The first son is convinced that he can do it. He may fall a few times, but he's going to ride a bike. The second son is convinced that he can't do it. He may fall a few times, and that will prove to him that I can't do it, and he'll never ride a bike. The difference, and these are exactly the things Ignatius is getting at in the rules, is knowing that we can resist and reject spiritual desolation with God's grace and with the employing of the tools that Ignatius is giving. So if we know that, then we're going to get there with God's grace.
You've been listening to Spiritual Desolation. Be aware, understand, take action with Father Timothy Gallagher. This particular series is based in part on Chapter 4 of Setting Captives Free, Personal Reflections on Ignatian Discernment of Spirits. You can find this book on Father Gallagher's website at fathertimothygallagher.org. To hear and or to download this episode, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts in cooperation with the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Spiritual Desolation. Be aware, understand, take action with Father Timothy Gallagher.